Today's daf in Besechet Beitzah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh, is daf Lamed Gimel. Okay, so we got up to Dorash Rova, which was right before the Mishnah. We've been talking about what it is that is mutter to do with wood. And if you recall, as we understood yesterday, we have a very special situation when it comes to wood. Because generally speaking, we have a concept of muktzah. Either something is muktzah or it's not muktzah. Except, of course, according to the very unique sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, that things are muktzah for anything which is not their overwhelming use. Interestingly enough, when it comes to wood, because of the fact that wood is used for so many different things that involve melachas, the Rabbanan were very reluctant to allow you to use wood on Yantar. And therefore, they created a special din of muktzah, which is that wood, at least according to the shitas we've been talking about, that wood is considered to be muchan for one purpose only. It's muchan for hasaka and not for anything else. So we continue on today with some other examples of that. However, as Rashi pointed out yesterday, since we paskan like Rabbi Shimon, none of this is really nogea us because we wouldn't have limited with this muktzah because he feels that the inyan of the muktzah of wood is dependent, of course, on the general question of muktzah the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, continuing on with this approach, as we paskin, the last words that we said yesterday was that the halacha, although Rashi says it doesn't apply to us, but that the halacha was that, in fact, wood is only muchan for hasaka. So Dorash Rava, Isha lo tikanes odira itzim, litomehem ud. So a woman should not go into a woodshed to take a piece of wood that was not miyuchad from before, it was just a regular piece of wood that was lying there, and to use that wood as an ud, which is basically like a poker that you use to poke the fire and the coals of the fire to get it to burn more fully, because a poker is a kli. By the same token, if you have a poker, and this would be true even of a poker stick, it's called on the same basis, right? So it would be a kli. And if it breaks, since we came out with the din, you're not allowed to use it on yontif, lefisha masikin bekelim, they masikin b'shivrei kelim. Continuing on the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of muktzah, so then the din would be that if something was a kli before, and then it became broken, so I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, it's now muktzah because it's shivrei kelim. You wouldn't be allowed to use a broken poker in a fire. What are you saying? You're saying that Rava is saying these psakim, all of which are going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the name of the Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Sfirle, Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzah? And this is the way Rava holds. Didn't Rava say to his own butler? So he told Lashame, Tvile bar avza, so make for me a roast goose and take the me'ayim of the goose and feed them to the cat. Now the problem is, remember that according to Rabbi Yehuda, muchan la'adam lo havi muchan la'klavim. In this terrible situation, we're calling a cat a dog. And because of that, just don't say anything to the cat about this. But the point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should not be allowed to send the me'ayim, the intestines, to the cat, because if a cat is a dog, then it's not muchan l'klavim. So how could Rava tell his own valet to do that? That's going only on Libra Rabbi Shimon. So then apparently Rava does not own Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, in that case, given the masruchim, look, he knew in advance that the intestines spoil very rapidly. So he understood that he's going to have to be fed to the cat. And therefore, me'atmol daite eluya. Now, let's understand the problems over here. Because, l'chora, if we're saying that the entire goose was muchan la'adam, then we're including the b'nei me'ayim, that the intestines were muchan la'adam. So then, why are we not saying that they should be muchan la'adam today as well? And what would be the problem, therefore, telling me that it was me'atmol daite eluya if he holds of Rabbi Shimon? You don't need to even come on to that. So Rashi says we have a curious situation that as far as the inyan of whether it was considered to be muchan la'adam before Yontav, it was. But then when you shechter on Yontif, it's not considered to be Muchan La'adam any longer, because since he's got so much good food on Yontif, why would he eat Kishka? Tosfos says, why would he eat Kishka? This is a kasha. You never been to a Kiddush. No, that wasn't what Tosfos kasha. Tosfos says, why would he eat Kishka is an issue that has no relevance. When we say that something is a foodstuff, it means you intend to eat it. Doesn't mean you intend to eat it. It means it's edible. I mean, if you don't hold that, says Tosfos, why does the Gemara in Shabbos say that you're allowed to handle raw meat? Because there are people that are going to make beef tartar. I mean, for heaven's sakes, do you intend to eat it that way? No. So why are you allowed to move the raw meat? What does it have to do with it? It has to do with the question of whether it is a foodstuff. It doesn't have to do. You've got plenty of things to eat on Shabbos. Same thing as over here. Therefore, Tainus Tosfos, the point over here is we're talking about after it already started getting ruined. So an Adam wouldn't eat it at this point, because for an Adam, it's Saruach. But he would still throw it to the dogs. So because of that, it would be now originally Muchan Adam, and now Muchan Klavim. That's why we have to say that it was Dayat Eluya. Yes, Rabbi Barnea?
Rabbi said yesterday that we would perhaps discuss the Rashi Sakalacha. Rabbi Weinberg some seasons ago said, according to the Rambam and the Rif, they were Machmer and Yom Tov, right? Apparently not like Rashi, like Rabbi Yehuda. I have such a note next to the Rashi.
Yes, I did. And I have to beg your forgiveness that I'm not quite up to it. And if you don't mind, I will put it off for one more day. I was hoping to get away with sort of a quick in and out top today. But Bezrat Hashem, I hope to do it tomorrow. Thank you. You bum.
What happened? Cat got your tongue?
Rebbe Eliezer, wait a minute, sorry. I'm so out of it. I forgot to call on our Capitan. Dear Capitan, please forgive me. Come and show us your beautiful face. Oh, there we go. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Notel Adam Kisam Mirshalafanav, Pachatzotz Parshinav. Person is allowed to take a piece of wood if it's in his home, and we'll see, says Rashi, doesn't literally need to be right there, milafanav, in his home. It could be even in his chotzer, as we're going to see in a moment. Tosfos actually disagrees with this, but Rashi understands that the only reason that we said in his home is to stress that the Chachomim, who say you cannot do that, they mean even if it's right there in your home, you cannot do that. So according to this, you're allowed to pick up a piece of wood and you can use it as a toothpick. And what's more, megavev min hachatzer, you can gather up all those little tiny pieces, broken branches and the pieces of straw and broken wood that are lying there in your front yard, and you can use it for fuel. Shekol ma shebechatzer muchanu. Anything that's in your own chotzer is considered not to be mukza. The Chachamim omrim, no. We disagree with you on 2 points, say the Chachamim. A, forget about going out into the front yard. If it's with you in the house, then it's considered to be mukhan for hasaka. But it's only mukhan la hasaka. You certainly cannot use it for cleaning your teeth. Because as we said before, we have this special halacha that wood can only be used for hasaka, and therefore it is not usable as a toothpick, unless, of course, it was mukhan as a toothpick from before Yanta. Furthermore, ein motzi'in et ha'urna. Now we finally get to the issue which we only saw before as an aside that Ravel was talking about. Suddenly we get to the Mishnah that discusses the problem of creating fire from nothing. We mentioned earlier that that is really the issue, according to many shitas, of using electricity on Yontif, turning on a light. It's only a question of moly. So here too, in motzi'in ta'ur, even though you're allowed to light a fire from a fire that you have, or light a lamp from a lamp that you have, that's only if it already exists as a lamp. But you cannot create that fire from wood or from stones and creating it through friction or from afar. You can't use, what was the type of thing they said? I think that Rashi's referring to flint here when he says bin afar, the type of thing that you find in inside of the afar. Velomina ra'afim, you can't use tiles that are left out in the sun to get very hot and actually can ignite paper or dry leaves. Velomin hamayim, you can't use water. How would you use water to create a fire? Says Rashi, very simple. You make a magnifying glass out of the water. So you take a piece of glass and then you add water. And if it's at the right, the glass is bent in the right way, it will create a fire. Excellent. And for some reason, you can't heat up the tiles in order to roast on the tiles. And that doesn't make sense because that has nothing to do with the molid. And of course, the Gemara will ask, how did that get in here? Now let's get back to using wood as a toothpick. Omer Rav Yehuda, what we've been talking about is using the wood. But how about if you do not hold that the use of wood is limited to hasaka, could you actually break off a piece of wood? Say you have like a branch. Can you take a little piece of wood off of it to use as a toothpick? That involves other issues, of course, because over there, it looks like, or maybe actually is, finishing up a clay. So what would be the din about that? Maybe it's makeh b'patish. I don't know. Maybe it's b'inef yodesh binyan b'kelim. This was all a discussion we had earlier between Rashi and Tosfos. Omer Rav Yehuda, actually, says Rav Yehuda, that if what you're using is ochlei behema, if there's no problem of muksa, and there's also no problem of something being hard, so you've got a feeding trough in front of you. This is food for your animal. It's obviously mukhan, therefore, for use. And it's nice and soft, because otherwise the animal wouldn't be able to use it. So that is not considered to be a problem. And ein b'hem mishum tikun kli. So that you could certainly use, because if they're that soft, so then it's not considered to be a real kli. And therefore, what's the problem? There would be no issue whatsoever. How can you tell me that you are allowed to utilize echle behema to make a toothpick? It says in the Braita that you are allowed to move wood around. This is talking about on Shabbos, to smell that wood if they're specifically fragrant kind of woods. And you can certainly move them to wave them in front of a chole, and that helps him breathe a little bit better. So say, got eucalyptus or something like that. So you could wave eucalyptus to help his breathing. Umololo, you can roll it between your fingers. We remember we used that lashon umololo for preparing raw grain, and you can smell it. But do not clip the wood to smell it. You can roll it, but you cannot clip it, because where you clip it, obviously it's going to smell better, because right there you're opening up a place that before was completely covered, so it's nice and fresh and so on. And why would you not be allowed to clip it? Because we're afraid that if you clip it to smell it, that you might end clipping it to use as a toothpick. And that would be an issue to your isis. So because of that, we say that you can't clip it even to smell it. But if you clipped it for smelling it, and you did an issue drabonon, but you'd be putter, it would be putter avalaser. But, and here's the reason why you shouldn't do it, but if you had clipped it in order to make a little toothpick, even that's exactly the same action, but your kavona makes that little piece that you clipped off, makes it into a din of a kli. So if you did it, you would actually be over on an iser d'oraisa, and you would be chayav achatas. Now, obviously, some of this wood is roi for Michael behema. You do not see that the b'raisa makes any distinction. So apparently, you'd be over on an iser d'oraisa for doing what you, Rabbi Yehuda, say you're allowed to do, even l'chatchila. That's outrageous. So this way Rashi learns the following piece of Gemara, which is, it's a little bit humorous, but it's very sweet. So Rashi learns that Rabbi Yehuda says to Rav Kana, oh my God, you got me, baby. Hoo-hoo. Hashta potra avo, usher kakashli. Even if you just found a braita that would have said that making a toothpick is usher minarabona, I would have been finished. Oh man, you would have had me. That's it. Cause I say it's mutal chatchila. Now you totally killed me. You got me a braisa that says that you're chayev, even a chatas. What am I going to do? You know what you're talking about. That's what I'm going to do. Well, that's not a problem. So, Ashta, if you had brought me a braita that would have said, Potter Aval also would have been kakashali. Chayev chatas, me boy. If you tell me it's a chayev chatas, you really think you got me, right? Nah. Elakitanya hi bekashin. The braita was talking about wood. That's what it says, wood. It wasn't talking about animal feed at all. This is how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, I mean, come on, this whole big discussion is only like, you know, like a boxer tells the other guy, oh, boy, well, I'm really scared. You got me good. It's not usually the Derech Megumara to do that. So therefore, it's more mashma that Rabbi Yehuda is trying to say, this is how Tosfos understands it. Look, I mean, you honestly believe that a braita would say something that is mufrach? It's ridiculous. It would even be a problem to take this braisa as referring to animal feed. Now, forget about what I said. Even to say it's usher. Why would it be usher? Since there's no way to come to baking an issur to your isa, because if you're talking about something soft, then obviously there couldn't be an issur that would be involved. It's not a real kli. So, I mean, don't you understand that there's only one solution? Any intelligent individual is going to take a braisa that is so extreme. It's the very extremity of it that makes it clear that we can't be talking about animal feed. Who in the world would have said that you'd be chayev chatas, please? So to understand yourself, that's how Tosfos understands. Okay, and in fact, that kind of thing we do find in the Gemara. But as I say, Rashi makes it a very cute kind of discussion. Asks the Gemara, but does it make sense? Because if you're saying that it's referring to hard wood, then how is one of the cases in the Braita, the melila? Melila means rolling something soft between your fingers. To take a piece of hard wood and be molil, what in the world is the use of being molil hard wood? Ah, that says Rabbi Yehuda, that's a good point. And actually, the Braita is missing a couple of words. Here's what it should say. You can be molilo umeriachbo, or you can be kotmo umeriyachba. Now, what were we talking about when we said that? Obviously, that part is talking about soft woods that are roi for a behema. Because over there, there's no reason to make a gezerah to not clip it. You could even clip it because if you clipped it in order to make it into a toothpick, there would be no problem. But if you have hard wood, don't even clip it to smell it. But if you did, then get back to the Lashon HaBraisa. If you did, it would be putter, but it would still be also ben rabbana because we're afraid if we allow you to clip it for the smell, you would clip it to make a toothpick. And therefore, if you did it, you'd be putter aval aser. But as I agree, if you actually make a toothpick by clipping it, so then you would be chayev achatas, lachtzotz bar shinam, lo yiktemenu, with a hardwood, because over there you'd be chayev because of makir bepatish, v'im ketamo, chayev achatas, and that's why we aser it. But otherwise, we're not going to make a gezeira derabona not to clip it, to smell it, on something which even if you clipped it for a toothpick, would not be aser midiraisa. It's only because it's aser midiraisa that's why you can't clip it to smell it. I just want to mention to you, if you guys get a chance to look through the Tosfos, I mean, this is like a very yesodistic Tosfos over here, who talks about why is it that we don't do a borei minei b'samim on Mitzvah Yantav. So as an introduction to this next sugya, because this next sugya is actually talking about people came to visit, and they did. There was apparently no problem to go ahead and to use these woods for saying a borei minei besomi. So let's get into that sugya, because it's really some cute things I think you'll enjoy discussing, even though normally I wouldn't do it because it's not mamish nugia artaf, but we'll take a look at it. First, let's take a look at the two brises. One brisa says you could clip wood and smell what you clipped. And the other one says you cannot. So how do you explain that? Well, we just explained it. Omer Abizera, Omer of Chistolokasha. The whole point over here is that the brighter that says that you're allowed to is referring to softwood, which is Roy for Michael Behema, and therefore it's not considered to ever be possible to be chayev a chiyev chatas on it, because it's not really a kli if it's that soft. Whereas the brayta that says it's osur is referring to hardwood, and hardwood, as we said, you're not allowed to do it even lariach bo because of the chashash of coming to an issur d'oraisa. Matkev lo Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Explain to me why you cannot do a something that is entirely for the tzorach of heter. All you're doing is you want to smell it, and because of that, you're going to osur doing it because maybe you'll make a toothpick. I mean, I never heard of such a thing, that we make an iser to do something which is completely mutter because you might do an equivalent act for a totally different purpose, which is osur. I mean, let me bring you an example and show you that this is not the case, okay? Matkifla Rav Ada bar Yaakov. You're telling me that you can't use the hardwood. Why, explain to me, why is that different than the case that we had in the Mishnah, in Shabbos, where it says a person is allowed to break, and we spoke a lot about this issue back in Shabbos. This is nogea very much the problem we have today with opening up boxes on Shabbos or opening up bottle caps and things like that. So that's where we got into this whole big discussion. And it says over there, you're allowed to break open a barrel on Shabbos in order to get grogrot from inside. Or you can break open a cereal box in order to get the Cheerios inside. But it has to be bilvad shaloyit kaven lasot kli. You cannot do it if your kavana is to make a nice opening that then you're going to reuse. But this is what's the whole problem with the bottle cap, that mamela becomes a reusable bottle cap. But why don't we say you're not allowed to break it to get out the Cheerios? Because you might break it in a way that makes it into a nice kli. Didn't you just say you're not allowed to clip a piece of wood to smell, which is completely mutter, because you might clip it in a way to make a nice kli, which is a toothpick? Same exact thing. I don't understand. Now, that's one question I have. Now, another question. The Od. Rava bar Avada and Ravin bar Avada both report that when they used to visit Rav Yehuda, he would break off these big, long branches, having mefashayach v'yayivlan alvata alvata, would give us big sticks, and these were hard sticks. They were afagav dechazia lekatata denarge v'chatzine. They were hard enough that if we had wanted to, we could have taken these sticks, and we could have used them to make handles for an axe, or to make handles for a ice pick. Wood pick, obviously, in those days. And he said, we can use this and break off pieces for Avdoa and use it to smell. And he wasn't worried that maybe we're going to use it to make these kalim, even though it was Roy to make the kalim. So why are you claiming over here? Why does the Brisa say that you can't break a piece of wood because maybe even to smell it, because maybe you're going to make a toothpick? I don't understand. Answers the Gemara, you have a very good point. However, it's not a problem because there is actually a machlokas about whether we make an iser drabonon in cases where the act could be performed for a completely different purpose. That is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, that there is such an iser drabonon. Whereas what we're saying over here, that Rav Yehuda would give out, that was going according to the Rabbanan. What machlokas are we referring to? The Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Notel adam kisam mishalafanav lachtotz bo shinav. Person is allowed to take a toothpick, meaning a sliver, from in front of him to use for a toothpick. And the Chachamim say, no, you could only do that if you're taking it from an animal's trough. So you told Ella Me'evus, because remember, you're not allowed, because of the Gezeirah Rabbanan, you're not allowed to move wood unless it's for purposes of Hasaka. He holds that it's Usser. Unless, of course, it was already Miuchat for Michael Behema, then it's not considered to be wood anymore. So the Chachamim say, if you're taking it from an animal, so then fine, then it's okay. But v'shavin shelo yiktamenu, but both are maskim, that you cannot take, you could take it if it's already there, but you cannot take it from the hard wood and to clip it, that you can't do. Ve'im kitamo lachtzotz bo shina v'liftoch bo hasadelet. Suppose you did go ahead and you clip it, and you did this on Shabbos, either to use as a toothpick or to use as a lockpick, you would be chayev achatas on Shabbos. And if you did it on Yontev, b'mezid, then you would be chayev for doing a malacha, and you would be chayev malchus on Yontev, because there was absolutely no heter here whatsoever. Obviously, a little bit of a problem, because you say you're chayev on Yontev, it means you did it b'mezid. We started talking about on Shabbos that you did it b'shogeg, and then we sort of switched in the middle. Okay, but the point is that apparently there's a big machlokas, because Rabbi Eliezer says all of this, that it would be usher, but the Chachomim say, echad ze ve'echad ze, eino ela mishum shvus. On both of these cases, there would be no isser d'oraita. So how does that show a machlokas in what we're talking about? Very simple. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that if you went ahead and you did it, you would be chayev achatas, so then that means that there is a basis for asering it min rabbona. So here he would say, even if you're only going to clip it for the reyach, it's putter, true, but it's still aser, because you might come to actually clip it as a toothpick. According to the rabbonin who say it's putter, aval aser, over here it's mutter lechatchila, we're not going to make a gezeira on the rabbonin. So according to Rav Yehuda, who was giving out these branches to Rav and to Rav in Baravada, to the two brothers, Rav and Ravi, so he apparently held that the Chachamim were correct, and that is not a problem. So, wait, you're telling me that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he disagrees with the Mishnah and Shabbos? The Mishnah and Shabbos said that you're allowed to break open a barrel in order to get the Cheerios inside of it, and you can do this as long as you do not have in Kavana to form a proper kli. So you leave it ragged edged. So therefore, there's no problem. So apparently, we allow you to do something that if you did it for another purpose would be an issur d'oraisa, and we allow you to do it l'chatchila. So I don't get, again, why is Rebbe Eliezer asering to clip a piece of wood to smell it, which what's wrong with smelling it? And the reason he's answering it is because if we allow you to clip it to smell it, you may clip it to make a toothpick. I mean, it's a totally different purpose. So, I mean, alach is kama v'kama. If you break open a box, it's very likely that you'll break it in a way to be able to close it again and to open it, and everything should be nice. And then we should answer it because you're going to come to making a kli. So I'd explain that. Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Ashi. That whole discussion about breaking open the barrel was talking about mustaki. Mustaki is bubblegum. It means that is somebody who put together his kli using bubblegum. Now we talk about, you know, people who keep their car together using bubblegum. So those people are very careful not to try fooling with it, because since the whole thing is held together with bubblegum, you don't want the whole thing to fall apart, right? So because of that, what are we talking about? A Cheerio box? Now you're going to start, what are you going to do? To take the scissors and start cutting around it and so on? So therefore, on things, there's two approaches to this. Tosis brings both approaches. So the Parshat approach is that since it's held together so poorly, you do not want to do any kind of delicate work on it because the whole thing can just fall apart. So that's one approach. Therefore, there would be no chashash that you're going to make a beautiful opening to it. But the other approach that Tosis brings is that even if you would make a Cheerio box into something chashuv, because it's only a Cheerio box, it doesn't have the chashivas of a kli. So it wouldn't matter even if you did it. So in the case of the held together with bubblegum, by the way, it's literally bubblegum. That's where we use the word mustaki, as Rashi brings. The Arabic for gum resin is mustaki, which in modern Hebrew is mastic. Mastic, which is mastic, is bubblegum. So it's literally, it's things, cars held together with bubblegum are usually not open to proper repairs. So therefore, you would not make a proper opening. I actually know someone who held his car together with bubblegum. So that's why, to me, it's really humorous. Okay, I'm sure Barnea remembers Rav Heinemann's car. Right. He would hold various pieces together with bubblegum. Okay, the next thing in the Mishnah talks about Megavev min hachatzer. So you're allowed to gather together little pieces of straw that fell in the chatzer, or pieces of wood that had broken off, and you can use them in your stove. Tana Rabbana, Megavev min hachatzer umadlik. Why are you allowed to use the wood in the chatzer? Because anything in a chatzer is considered to be mukhan and not mukza, but you're not allowed to make piles of it. Obovav shelo yaaseh tzivurin tzivurin. And whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're even allowed to pile it up. So what is this machlokas? Mar savar zeh Tana Kama, who holds that it's usur to pile things up, is because he says, look, it looks as if you're gathering things for long-term usage. So what do you make a big pile for? If all you want to do is put this stuff on your stovetop in order to be able to have something now, cook an egg, what are you making a big pile for? So it looks, remember that one of the important issues over here, which we spoke about just a couple of days ago, was that you should not think that there's a problem of ma'amer, because ma'amer only, which is this deraisa. I mean, so what are we asking? What's the problem? The problem is you're chayev chatas on Shabbos. You'd be chayev malchus for ma'amer. You're not, because as Tosis explained earlier, ma'amer is only in the place where something is grown, and to do something like this is no different, as we put it, than gathering up your children's marbles and making a pile of marbles. There's no isser in that. So the idea over here is that it would only be usser because of what it looks like. And this is another question of Uvdin Nechol, which we've been talking about throughout the entire program here. And therefore, since it looks over here, we've had isser, and it looks like you're going to market. It looks like you're preparing something here for long-term storage, or it looks like you're going to be doing a big project, and so on. All of this. So here, it looks like you're doing it for post-yanta. That's the Tana Kama, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, that's not true. Because the fact is, if you're only worried about what it looks like, then a person is only doing this when he's actually going to move it to his stovetop. And he's got his frying pan on his stovetop. I mean, what? Come on, people, I mean, have some brains, no? So, kederato mochachat alav. If somebody's doing something in a context which anybody who pays enough attention to look at what he's doing sees what he's doing, and he's trying to get an egg cooked, so kederato mochachat alav. The fact that he's got his pot there is sufficient for people to understand that that's what he's trying to do. Unfortunately, we know from so much of our own experience that people will never look at what you're doing. They will only look at the snapshot of what you're doing. And of course, they leave the kedera out of the snapshot. And so now everything makes sense. This guy obviously is a machalo yonta. Anyway, ein motzi'in et ha'ur, you're not allowed to create fire or to turn on a light, for that matter. Why? My taima. There's no iser of lighting on yontav. I can go ahead and light the fire on my stove. So why in the world can't I actually use my lighter to make the fire? What's the difference? Answers the Gemara, because, as we said, being molit something new is an iser derabbanan, because it's similar to the concept of melacha. Melacha is doing like this creative act, making something that wasn't there before. And because of that, the Rabbanan Aser, the very aspect of molid, not to be confused with the issue of molid and muksa, of course, which is a totally different issue, whether it's mukhan. But over here, something that looks like the essence of melacha, the Rabbanan Hatzer. So making something appear out of nowhere, taking flint and suddenly you have a fire, that seems to be very similar to the sense of what a melacha is. Now this last stuff, that's really weird. What in the world are you doing wrong by heating up tiles and then using those tiles for cooking an egg on? I don't understand. Ah, so my COVID, what do you do wrong? Omar Rabba Barbachanon Rabbi Yochanan, what we're talking about over here is not just normal tiles. We're talking about brand new tiles. And the reason that you can't do it is because the first time that you heat them, it's tzorech lebotkan. That basically tempers the tile. You always need to check it first to see if it was made properly and it would stand up to heat. But if you try to do that on Yontev with the hope that it'll stand up to heat, what happens if it shatters? So if it does shatter, which is common, it would turn out that everything that you did was tircha shelo letzorech. And as we saw earlier, wherever you cannot be sure that what you're doing is going to be useful, we don't allow you to do it on Yontev, or even in cases we're afraid maybe you'll change your mind. So then it would also be tircha shelo letzorech. Remember, we had the whole question of why it is you would have to handle the actual pigeons that you want to use, because maybe you'll change your mind if you start looking through them on Yontev Guf. We had a number of examples of this idea. So over here, we don't allow you to use something and to go to the trouble, and then it may not be usable in the end at all. Some say the reason is because in the heating of them, they actually become tempered. So because of that, it's considered to be makeh bepatish. And then it would be usur. Now, I told you about the interesting Tosfos, and let's just get back to that, the context of the story in with Rabbi Yehuda. Again, I'm going to have to get another iPad, I'm afraid. Sorry, but I just lost the Tosfos here. Hold on. Maybe I can actually... No, I don't have the Gemara in this room. Okay, one sec. Just give me... It takes about 30 seconds or so to re-download. Okay. So Tosfos questions over here, if they used to do this, so then why in the world do we not do the Borei Minei B'Samim on a Yontev that is on Mitzvah Shabbos? Now you will always notice that there's no Borei Minei B'Samim, right, on a Yontev. So why is there not a Borei Minei B'Samim? So Tosfos goes through the various possibilities. Now, one possibility is, of course, that if the reason for making a Borei Minei B'Samim is to make you happy because of the loss of your neshama yisera, so then maybe the reason we don't say a Borei Minei B'Samim... Forget it.
It's obviously
Maisa Sutton over here, I'm telling you. They're coming at us from all sides, either the internet or the iPad. Anyway, I'll try again, but there may be something that's not meant to be exposed here. So anyway, your argument would be that we don't make a Borei Minei B'Samim because there's a Neshama Yetzer on Yontif too, right? So maybe that would be the reason. So how can we make a Borei Minei B'Samim? But Tosfos says that's not true, because if there was a Neshama Yetzer on Yontif, then we would have to make a Borei Minei B'Samim on Mitzvah Yontif, but we don't. And so obviously the issue is not that there is a Neshama Yetzer. So maybe the reason that we make a Borei Minei B'Samim on a normal Mitzvah Shabbos might be for a completely different reason. Maybe the reason is that during Shabbos, so all of the poor sinners in hell were left off from being burned, you see. But then on Mitzray Shabbos, they turn the fires back on in Gehenna. So that really makes the world pretty smelly with all of that sulfur and so on. So because of that, you have to have the besamim to cover over the stench in the world that's coming from the renewed Esh Gehenna. So maybe that's why on a normal Mitzray Shabbos. But if Yom Tov comes out on Mitzray Shabbos, I mean, for heaven's sakes, you got to let the sinners off on Yom Tov. We're not going to turn on the fires again on a Yom Tov, are we? So maybe that would be the reason that we don't say the Bari Minei Besamim. But no, that's also a problem, because then we should once again have to say Bari Minei Besamim on Mitzray Yom Tov, because that's when they're starting up with the extra sulfur. So that can't be the reason. Anyway, Tosfos comes out that the truth is that it's for Neshama Yisera, and that the reason that we don't do it on Yom Tov is not because Yom Tov has a Neshama Yisera, because otherwise we'd have to do it on Mitzray Yom Tov, but it's because since there's so much happiness going on Yom Tov with all the good food and everybody sitting around the table and so on, so that in and of itself is Miyashev Yodas from the misery of its being Mitzray Shabbos. You don't sense the misery so much on Esh Mitzray Shabbos. That's a Yantar. Okay, I just thought that was fascinating. Because this business about the Gehenim, by the way, is brought la'alocha l'gabi other issues, like the question of, which we spoke about in Shabbos. It's like you're stealing from the Mesim if you take water before Havdalah, because that is given to the Mesim that were need on the Gehenim, that they're given that water, and if you take it, so they're using water that was meant for that particular purpose on Mitzray Shabbos, you're using it for other purposes. So there is some message in this. Maybe to be, to realize that Chol is something like hell when you're coming off of a Shabbos, and it really does feel like that. All right, so as we said last night, Hineel Yeshua see Eftach v'lo Efchad. It's a little too late for the Besamim, but yes, who wanted to say something? This, yeah, Alon?
He's eaten on Yom Tov that compensates for the Besamim after Yom Tov. Was this food that people continue to eat even after Yom Tov?
No, you don't need Besamim after Yom Tov because you didn't lose your Neshama Yesera.
Why? Because you had good food on Yom Tov.
No. You didn't have a Neshama Yesera on Yom Tov. But the good food made up for the pain of losing your Neshama Yisera after Shabbos. But you don't need good smell for losing the good food.
Wow.
Okay. All right, everyone. May we be zocha to lots of Neshama Yisera and avoid any of that sulfur. Bad news. Whew.